brothers and sisters, and welcome to worship on this Wednesday of Lent. Today we will hear a reminder from the book of Jonah, and Jesus picks up on it, where he calls this people that he's preaching to like the age of Jonah, who had a sign amidst them and didn't see it. We might ponder the signs that we're missing in our own life because we're asleep or not paying attention. We ask God to open our eyes to feel the love and presence of the Lord in our lives and in our community. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of God, open us to your silence and fill us with your love. Bring the calm that passes all understanding and leads us into your peace. We thank you for the signs that you give to us, showing us your presence is with us, even through the storms and difficulties of the things we are asked to do. Send us home changed, transformed, never the same. In Christ.
Staying in that place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from Jonah, chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message that I will tell you. So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city. Jonah had began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh will be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had proclaimed throughout Nineveh, by decree of the king and his nobles, neither man nor beast, neither cattle nor sheep shall taste anything. They shall not eat, nor shall they drink water. Man and beast will be covered with sackcloth and called loudly to God. Every man shall turn away from his evil way and from the violence he has in hand. Who knows? God may relent and forgive and withhold his blazing wrath so that we shall not perish. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. the word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 11. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. And the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
These passages of Scripture are indicated for the second Wednesday of the season of Lent. We're a week into the season of Lent. Just a week ago was Ash Wednesday. And they come around every year. There are different ways of approaching these passages. In years past, we've talked about the city of Nineveh representing the interior of our personality, our essence. The king, what does the king represent? What do the people represent? What does Jonah represent? The preaching representing, so to speak, light entering into us, transforming the different parts of us, confronting the different parts of us, calling the different parts of us to integration and wholeness. There's a lot of ways you can interpret that passage. The psalm also is famous during the season of Lent. And this profound indication to us that there is a great opportunity for us to experience newness in our life. And the prayer here is, "Cast me not from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me, but renew a right spirit within me." There's something about that that speaks to what I really want to get at here, and that is, the season of Lent gives us the opportunity to confront our desires. If we're doing Lent in any sort of way traditionally, where we're limiting our food intake or not eating certain things or drinking certain things or whatever it is that you may have given up during that, if we're doing some aspect of Lent, we are discovering something about the apparatus of desire that is running on our system, and the way in which that desire works. And Lent is this extraordinary opportunity to really observe the system and how it desires. And this gets us to this notion of what it is that human beings are wanting. What is this sign that we're looking for, constantly looking to be distracted, constantly distracted by our lives, by the opportunities that are available to us on this planet? What is it that human beings are really looking for? What is this sign that Jesus speaks of? And we'll connect these two things together, this presence of God and the hunger for a sign, for some indication that we're wanting our needs to be met. Now, Jesus in this passage is referring to his own ministry in this way, and he understands himself to be a dimension of truth, a dimension of wisdom, a dimension confronting the people, and he recognizes that there is something greater than Jonah here. Like Jonah was to the Ninevites, there's something greater than Jonah here. And in other words, Jesus is basically saying that what I have to offer you, what I am speaking to you, what sign I am giving to you, is calling you to understand the reality of God for your life. The reality of God for your life. And for us in the season of Lent, it seems to me that that's the opportunity to discover what's in the place of God. What is the reality of God for us? And that's the opportunity I get to experience in Lent, is to see in ever subtle ways where the presence is that I am giving my attention to what have I placed, as, so to speak, God in my life. What have I assigned as God in my life? There's something greater than anything else that we have assigned to be God in our life. And the opportunity to have a new heart, a new sight, to see in a new way, to feel in a new way, to think in a new way, to understand where each of us is limiting the presence of God and the power of God by relying upon something else in that place. For me, I have discovered recently that these gods I have made are very subtle, and they take a lifetime to form and probably a lifetime to be unformed. And the subtle dynamics of thoughts that become godlike in us, feelings that become godlike in us, that is to say, those very subtle things in us that have our attention and take our attention and keep us from experiencing something more, something greater that is possible. You know, it's hard for us to let go of the things that bring us the comfort, the things that bring us our sense of, that's where I get my juice from, that's what I count on for my comfort, that's what I believe, that's what I think. It's very hard for us to let go of those idols. But there is something greater. There is something greater that is possible to experience in our lives that helps us discover the clean heart, that removes the blockages that are limiting our experience of that which is greater. For me, the Eucharist becomes this presence of the great thing in our midst that is greater than any program for happiness I might be running. The Eucharist in its simplicity offers me nothing except the opportunity to believe. It is a means to confront all of my expectations of what I think the spiritual life should be like. And it presents to me the humble way, a path of simplicity, a path of gratitude, a path of self-surrender. By the power of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives, we can begin to experience what this psalm speaks of as we, as it were, recognize that there's something more for us to let go of in the season of Lent this year than last year. There's something greater to experience than we have ever before. A clean heart create for me, O God. A steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. The spiritual dimension of the Holy Spirit is ultimately, this experience of the spiritual dimension of the Holy Spirit is ultimately the sign that all of us are in need of, to realize that we're not alone, that everything is okay, and that God is with us. This renewed inner heart is the sign that something greater is here for us, rather than our fears, rather than our addictions, rather than our acting out, rather than all the things that we count on to comfort us, to stabilize us. There's something else greater for us here. The Holy Spirit uses the Eucharist, as it were, to call us to repentance, to call us to wear the sackcloth of humility, because it's the humble that can receive this humble gift and resonate with it. The Holy Spirit is, so to speak, our Jonah. The Holy Spirit is moving through our Nineveh, our little heart, a wide heart, full of all sorts of things, the Holy Spirit and the Eucharist tag team like Jonah, preaching the Word of God, preaching the Word in the silence and the humility, cleansing us and helping us realize that there is something greater for us than what we are experiencing. And the greatness is hiddenness. The greatness is humbleness. The greatness is this freedom to worship in a new way, to worship with a clean heart. It's a hard message that we call one another to. It really is, during the season of Lent, to acknowledge that there's something blocking our hearts, to acknowledge that we may not have a clean heart, to acknowledge that we have made a sign of our own happiness out of something else, an idol. It's a hard message. We don't like to hear it. And it's comforted, so to speak, that harsh message is comforted by the hope that there is something greater for each of us that we can discover in our surrender, in our listening, in our daily practice, in our fasts, in our humbling of ourselves by letting go of the things we normally do and taking on some things that we don't. I pray that for each of us in some way we might see what signs we've made of out of our lives, where we've been looking for comfort, where we've been looking for security, where we've been looking for a sense of control, a sense of love. These are the signs in our lives, the programs for happiness. And just ask the Holy Spirit to bring to you the greater, what you can handle, and particularly the greatness of the Eucharist and its humility, and what sign this is of God's presence in our midst tonight. Amen. May the presence that is greater than we can comprehend continue to feed us on our Lenten journeys. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence of the Holy Spirit be with us each this evening. Amen.